Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I hope you're having a great day so far this fabulous Wednesday. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, as always, you can text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777 and get the show notes, the podcast, the live stream. I got an email from a listener who asked, what's this Army thing? Let me explain this to you. If you text Army to 33777, you guys have often said, it comes up in conversations, it comes up in research, that you don't just want to hear about the problems, you want to be able to take action. And so we've got this way for you, like when there's legislation before Congress that's bad, to be able to make it easy for you to call members of Congress and to send them emails to say, don't do this or do something. Also, state legislature. We've done this for a while. We started when I was just on in Georgia, being able to do it in Georgia. As we've grown nationally, we've expanded this nationally. But now we're doing something else. We got a new system. So as we're taking the gathering next year on the road, going state to state, we want to be able to contact you in your state and say, hey, just so you know, we're going to be in your state at this venue on this date, if you want to come, and to be able to make sure you all know, you may not be listening to the show, you may miss it. If you text Army to 33777, if you put in your name, your zip code, your email address, we can send you an email and target you by the state that you're in. So you can say, like, if we do an event in, for example, Fort Lauderdale, we can say, find the people who live in Florida or in around Fort Lauderdale. It'll make it easy for us to send you an email so you can sign up, come to an event, and see us in person as we start doing this next year. So this is well in advance planning, so you can't say you didn't know. So text the word Army to 33777. Now, we must talk about last night, and it dawned on me with a clip from my buddy Scott Jennings. Last night, the Democrats met in Chicago for day two of Abortion Palooza, and in their next airing of the vajayjay monologues, they decided to, well, spend more time talking about abortion, but also spend lots of time talking about how bad rich people are. And who are the cast of characters telling you how bad the rich people are? A bunch of really rich people. The juxtaposition and poor planning of having Bernie Sanders on stage attacking the wealthy to be followed by the governor of Illinois, J.D. Pritzker, who is literally a billionaire, was actually pretty hilarious. But it wasn't just them. I want to begin with my buddy Scott Jennings, though. He was on CNN last night with David Axelrod and the other panelists, and he made a really good point that needs to be aired.
In all these speeches, as good as they were, is that she's in the White House right now. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years who is supposed to already be working on solving it? But
yes, amen and amen. 12 of the last 16 years, Democrats have controlled the White House, have very frequently controlled Congress. They've certainly controlled the administrative state, and yet somehow Trump's to blame for everything. How exactly is that? And then that got me to Barack Obama and what he said last night. We can ignore Michelle. We can ignore the other speeches. It's this one small clip from Barack Obama that tells you everything you need to know about the world.
Now, it won't be easy. The other side knows it's easier to play on people's fears and cynicism, always has been. They will tell you that government is inherently corrupt, that sacrifice and generosity are for suckers. And since the game is rigged, it's okay to take what you want and just look after your own. That's the easy path.
We have a different task. Our job is to convince people that democracy can actually deliver.
You know what democracy delivered? A jobs report that overinflated the jobs by over 800,000 people certainly did make Joe Biden look good. They've been forced to revise it downward by 800 some odd thousand jobs. That's what government delivered. Barack Obama, the key part there was not that the sacrifices for suckers sort of point, because nobody really believes that, government is inherently corrupt. He says the other side will tell you government's inherently corrupt. Is it not? Is it not? Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, they've made their career in government. So they believe in the inherent goodness of government. And all of them on stage and all the other speakers on stage decided to attack the private sector, to attack the captains of industry, to attack Wall Street, to attack the bankers, to attack the rich, to attack big business, to attack all of the things you could do. Now, lay that on top of this. Tim Walz and other Democrats night before last specifically attacked J.D. Vance for going to Yale. Now, what's so funny about it is the elite love the Ivy League, except J.D. Vance went there. So Yale is willing to be targeted by their own because J.D. Vance went there. But how did J.D. Vance go there? Raised in poverty in Appalachia. He escaped into the Marines. Served his country loyally in Iraq, unlike Tim Walz. Went to Ohio State, and to his credit, might be the only person to ever come out of the Ohio State University and not make a big deal of it. Y'all know I love you up there, don't you? My neighbor goes, went to Ohio State. We went to Ohio State on the GI Bill. And then he went to Yale for law school. Out of poverty to Yale. That's the American dream. And what does he get for it? The Democrats excoriating his military experience as being less than real military experience because he wasn't in combat, unlike Tim Walz, who also wasn't in combat and not in Iraq. And then to excoriate him for having lifted himself out of poverty, gone to the Marines, goes to Ohio State, and then goes to Yale and becomes successful in the private sector. You have all of these whores to the public sector on stage at the Democratic National Convention blasting people who made it good in the private sector, blasting the private sector, blasting those of you who've made wealth in America. Government does not create wealth. Government takes your wealth. That's why the government doesn't sell a good or service. The government takes your tax dollars and provides you an inferior service. The government is less competent in feeding the poor than the churches. The government is less competent in educating people than homeschool communities or private schools. The government is less competent in delivering packages than UPS or FedEx. The government really isn't all that competent in keeping us secure these days. Look at the border. And Barack Obama says it's not inherently corrupt. That's what the Republicans say. Because for you to believe the government is corrupt is to denounce Barack Obama's identity. Because Barack Obama may be a very successful politician, but that's all Barack Obama ever amounted to is a politician. All Kamala Harris ever amounted to is a politician. All Tim Walz ever amounted to is a politician. All Joe Biden ever amounted to is a politician. Say what you will about J.D. Vance, but he was in the private sector as a venture capitalist. Say what you will about Donald Trump, but he's got buildings around the country that have his name on them that are not taxpayer funded. You want to find something with Barack Obama's name on it, you got to go find something that's been taxpayer subsidized, not with Trump, not with Vance, not even with the Bushes, who made their fortunes in the private sector before getting into government. So for Republicans, you have to understand this, their problem is not really Donald Trump. Their problem is when you attack government, you are attacking them. The reason they can attack J.D. Vance for going to Yale, for using the GI Bill to go to college, for being in the Marines, the reason they can attack him and get away with it is because he's one of the bad people. He's not on their side. But they must do that because they must vilify the private sector in order to enhance themselves. If you reject government, you're not just rejecting government, you're rejecting them. You're rejecting their reason for being. And that's ultimately what this election is about. They don't like J.D. Vance, not just because he's on the other side politically, but because he was supposed to stay poor in Appalachia and live off the government dole. For J.D. Vance to have pulled himself up by his bootstraps, joined the Marines, taken advantage of the tools of government to get out of government dependence, it's actually bad. Once you get on government dependence, you're supposed to stay there. That's why they vilify Bill Clinton's welfare reforms, because it allowed people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps with minimal government assistance to get off the government dole. You're not supposed to do that, because if you get off the government dole and you are not dependent on the government, you've rejected Obama and Harris and Walz and Biden. You've rejected them because they are the government. They are the living embodiment of the government. Their entire career has been about being in government. They've never had a job in the real world. They hate the real world. They view the real world as inherently corrupt, as do the rest of these Democrats. And that's what last night was about. The first night was about your right to murder your children. And the second night was about your need for the government. You need the government. Remember in 2016, the Democrats said the government is what we all belong to. It's the only thing we all belong to is the government, not your church, not your community, not your God, but not your family, but the government, because they are the embodiment of government. That's why you can have a billionaire on stage denouncing billionaires. That's why you can have a multimillionaire on stage denouncing multimillionaires, because they believe their motives are pure because their motives are government. And anyone who suggests you don't need the government is the bad guy. And that is the vision for this election. That everything that makes America good is actually bad. Individuality, individual responsibility, individual work ethic, the private sector, the ability to harness the American dream to pull yourself out of poverty into wealth. And everything that's bad about the United States is good. Government inefficiency, government corruption, government incompetence, all of those things are actually good. That's what this election is about. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance say you should be able to chart your own course. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz say the government should be able to chart your course for you, and damn you if you deviate from what the government says you'll do. That's what it was about. Barack Obama on stage. A friend of mine points out to me, my buddy Matt says it wasn't 2016, it was 2012. 2012 Obama's re-election, that the only thing we belong to is the government. It's Barack Obama saying we all belong to him because he's defined himself in government. The Democrats have defined government as good and the private sector as bad. Most of us work for private sector businesses. We work for small businesses. Small businesses are the worst in the Democrats' frame of mind. That's why the Democrats get their money from the Fortune 500. That's why they pass more and more regulations. The regulation is a subsidy of complexity for the rich. Because small businesses are entrepreneurial. They think for themselves. They're self-reliant. The big businesses more and more rely on government. So that's what the election is about. Are you for the government or are you for America? Because the Democrats want you to believe the government is America and the private sector is bad. That's what you got to remember when we go vote this November.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. Well, Tim Walz is going to speak tonight, and now there is questions about, was Walz funded by the Communist Party of China to go to China? His campaign will not release information on whether Beijing provided any funding for the student trips that Walz led to China. Claims Republicans are twisting facts. Now, you should note, Tim Walz has actually been a critic of Communist China. If we're going to be fair and intellectually honest about this, he's actually been a very vocal critic about Beijing's human rights abuses, was in China when the Tiananmen Square massacre happened, decided to get married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, and has actually regularly condemned China. At the same time, it appears the Chinese might have been funding his trips to China. He was refusing to answer. Concurrently, Axios has the story. Let me just read you the first paragraph from the left-wing Axios. This, again, it's a left-wing publication. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's own words are tripping him up as he transitions to the national stage. To close observers back home, his tendency to misspeak or make inaccurate or inconsistent public comments may sound familiar. That is a hell of a lot of words to say lie. He lied about whether or not his wife used IVF for their children. She did not. He lied about using weapons of war in war. He did not. He lied about his rank in the military when he retired. He lied about his DUI. He lied about the demographics of people who burned down Minneapolis. He lies and lies and lies, and the media calls it exaggerations or misstatements. They won't call it a lie. You know, and I know, were it Donald Trump, they would. In fact, they say Donald Trump has a fountain of exaggerations and mistruths. They won't call Walz's mistruths, though, because he's a Democrat. Now, Americans for Prosperity is organizing a movement across this country to fight for common sense conservative reforms, and they'd love to have you on board. They have chapters in every state, including Minnesota, by the way. Around the country, AFP organizes conservatives to learn the skills of persuasion, the art of persuasion, to provide you the information to persuade and to teach you how to knock on the door of your neighbor and persuade them for common sense conservative solutions, or knock on the door of your local city councilman or your school board member, show up at their meetings or go to the state government and advocate for free markets and free people and for families and for school choice, for common sense border security solutions, and so much more. All you have to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. They have chapters in almost every state. You want to get involved in the process. You want to make a difference. And you don't want to be part of a grift. Americans for Prosperity is legitimate. There are plenty of grifty organizations that will take advantage of you on the right, not AFP. They're legit. They're solid. They're conservative. Go to AmericansForProsperity.org. AmericansForProsperity.org. Go sign up with them today.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson across the nation. I am delighted to have you. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I want to begin the show calls today with Chris. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Eric?
Great. What's going on?
Hey, so a couple of things, two things. Number one, I'm having a little bit of a situation here. Maybe you can give me some good advice on. So as people, whoever's voting for Kamala Harris, I'm having a hard time having respect for those type of people, right? When I say those type of people, I mean people that are agreeing with open borders, people that are agreeing with high inflation, you know, high taxes, interest rates, and just really not focusing on us and just focusing on them. I'm really having a hard time having respect for those type of people and just one to, you know, how do I get around that, man? Like, you know, like, for example, my friend, he's voting for her. I said, why? What's up? Why are you voting for her? You really couldn't tell me other than I don't like Trump. And I'm like, well, what about our policies, man? What about Trump's policies versus hers? I mean, we don't even know what her policies are right now. We don't know. Apparently, she's going to say it tomorrow, you know? So that's number one. Number two, so I heard Obama, as painful as it was, I heard him. It sounds like to me that Kamala Harris is trying to pull away from the Biden administration and to go under Obama's administration, meaning, hey, if you like me for 8 years, you know, and she liked my policies, then you'll like Kamala Harris's policies because her policies are basically my policy.
Right.
It sounds like to me that you're not President Obama, but yet you're still controlling some sort of regulations when it comes to her. So that's you know, maybe you can, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Chris. Sure. Okay. So let me I'll let you go and you can listen on air. Let's deal with number two first, because my buddy Leland Vittert noted something last night. Leland Vittert on News Nation. Listen to this.
I don't think we can underscore how unusual it was that Kamala Harris and her running mate were not here for tonight. They weren't beamed in even watching the speech. And I think that underscores the very deep division still between Barack Obama and Joe Biden, and that the Biden team still blames Barack Obama and the wounds are still very raw from removing him.
Yeah, it is very notable that neither Walz nor Harris was there to hear the former president speak. Barack Obama doesn't want to be out of the limelight, and he wants to be tied to Harris. He certainly played some role, although we're learning, not as large as Nancy Pelosi in pushing Joe Biden out. He's trying to get his attaboy moment there as well. I don't think it's going to work for him so much. And Kamala Harris is going to attempt to be her own woman. She did bring in a lot of Obama's team. She's been pushing out the Biden people. Now, to the first one, Chris, this is the one that everybody has the harder time with. How do I respect someone who votes for the person that I don't like and think is bad for the country? If you are defining someone based on who they voted for politically, that's actually on you, not them. It's actually a character flaw on your part. And I mean this lovingly and respectfully. Americans aren't supposed to care who each other voted for. You may have a dog in the fight. You may want someone to win. You may want your team to win, and you may think their policies are best. And I'm with you on that. But also, if you're judging someone based on who they voted for, you don't live in that person's world. You don't walk in their shoes. They may be a friend of yours, but they see the world differently from you. If you want to persuade them, remember we're in an emotional age and you're trying to persuade them with reason. You can persuade them with reason, but you actually have to build that relationship to have that conversation with them. But don't treat someone poorly because of who they voted for. You're supposed to love your neighbor. There's no caveat. There's no exception. Look, I've read it in the original Greek. There's no exception. There's no caveat. There's no loophole. There's no carve out for how that person voted. You're supposed to love your neighbor. And if you can't, that's on you and that's not on them. Our government, this is one of my problems with the Democrats, frankly, is they have allowed government to become so pervasive and invasive and fill up the spheres of our life where it was never meant to be, that now the government is the be-all, end-all of everything. And it's not supposed to be that way. And as it increases in those spheres, everything becomes more political. And we tend to look on other people and try to find those who share our values and reject those who don't. And we're not supposed to be like that. That makes us like them. So you gotta be careful with that. Give people room to disagree, but also be friendly enough that you might be able to persuade them. I know plenty of people who have persuaded their friends to change their views through their relationship. Also, I do think it's incumbent on us to acknowledge that Donald Trump has flaws. This is one of the things where I disagree with a number of my listeners on, who tell me I should never say anything except the nicest possible stuff about Donald Trump. I just think that comes off as lacking credibility, because if you can't acknowledge the man has problems when everybody else recognizes they do, you come off as a cultist, not as a rational, reasonable human being. And I think you're going to persuade people more by saying, look, I don't like what he does. I wish he wouldn't do this. But look at his policies. Look at the level of job creation. Look at how the world was not at war when he was president. Look at how low inflation was when he was president. Look at the amount of oil and gas we were producing in this country. And look at our gas prices when he was president. We could have that, or we could have what we have. And I think that is that's what we have to do, is be relational enough to be reasonable enough with people we disagree with. I got to tell you, I get hate mail a lot, and it's for most of the year, the hate mail in an election year comes from the left, until towards the end when it comes from, particularly in the age of Trump supporters, who just feel like if you say anything critical of him, that somehow you're a traitor. And I don't find that helpful at persuading people to our side. Again, you would more with honey than vinegar. And I also think that you come off as more credible when you can say, yeah, look, I share your concern about this. I wish he wouldn't do this, but look at the policies. Now, that being said, he's out there talking about his policies. So too is J.D. Vance. And there was a great moment on the campaign trail. One of the things you will find with the press corps is one of the double standards they have is humor, where they don't recognize humor on the right and they do on the left, and also their willful ignorance of history. So Donald Trump went yesterday to a town in Michigan that the left says is a bastion of white supremacy. It's the same town Joe Biden campaigned in 4 years ago, or in 2021 after he'd become president. Listen to this exchange with a reporter. Good for Donald Trump on this. Now, you may not be able to hear this. You'll hear him as he comes to the microphone. He's walking to the microphone to respond. But so, yeah, why are you campaigning in this town in 20, when it's tied to white supremacy?
Who was here in 2021? Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
I was well done. Well done by him. By the way, he's got surrounded by law enforcement. As this reporter tells him, this town is tied to white supremacy. The other one was this one, which is, again, a message that he raised in Michigan that needs to be just continuously beating the drum.
We want a crime-free America. We're going to stop violent crime in the United States. And it's people like this that can do the job better than anybody. They do the job justly and fairly, but there's nobody like these people.
Highlighting law enforcement and highlighting legal aliens. Y'all, I got to tell you, I continue to think that one of the most necessary messages is the names of the Americans killed by illegal aliens in the last 2 years who came over while Kamala Harris was the border czar. I think that's a powerful message. Do you want 4 more years of what Kamala Harris has already given us and what Joe Biden has already given us? And that the Trump campaign is headed in that direction, I think, is good. Now, another one. This is J.D. Vance. He was on Fox News this morning.
Senator, tonight at the DNC, Nancy Pelosi is going to speak. Bill Clinton's going to speak. Pete Buttigieg is going to speak.
Nope, I'm messing myself up. This was from this morning. Yep, looking at the timestamp. This is about tonight.
And Tim Walz, the governor of the great state of Minnesota, is going to speak. He's their vice presidential nominee. You and he will square off on a stage somewhere in, you know, at the one vice presidential debate, which has been agreed to. Have you figured out your main plan of attack against Coach Walz?
Well, I have to point that out since you asked that, of course, Kamala Harris announced this morning that she's running from the Fox News debate. And what a disgrace it is for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to talk tough, but then to run from the American people's questions, to run from these debates. I think if you want to be the vice president or the president, you ought to do as many debates as you can, because that's an opportunity to actually talk to the American people and make your pitch to them. My approach for the one debate that it looks like I'm going to have with Tim Walz is just to keep it focused on policy. You know, this is a guy who supported the rioters in Minneapolis as they burned down that city to the ground. This is a guy who supported policies that would defund the police, that have raised the price of groceries and of energy for American families. And I just want anybody who watches that debate to come away with it with a recognition that I know what it's like to deal with some of the problems and some of the bad policies of Kamala Harris. And we're going to make things better if the American people trust us with the opportunity to do so. And so that's how I'm going to keep it focused. And that's what I'm going to focus my preparation on.
Listen, given how just a serial liar Tim Walz is, I think Vance really, he's a great debater. He is a very good debater. And it's going to be very interesting to see Tim Walz against him in a debate. I don't know that the vice presidential debate matters that much, but I think he's going to eat Tim Walz lunch in this debate. And he also had a great line himself on the campaign trail that, of course, the media is attacking him for daring to say.
My little theory about why they decided to have the convention in Chicago is, you know, Tim Walz has been going around saying that he served in war, and maybe they did it in Chicago so that he could actually accurately say that he visited a combat zone, because Chicago, I mean, look.
And, you know, the media's like, I can't believe he would say that. He was clearly joking. It's amazing how the media has no sense of humor when Republicans say something. It's just, it's funny in that regard. All that being said, the Republican counter message is getting out there to the people who matter. The Democrats are fearful of losing Michigan in the Electoral College. They are so desperate to hang on to Michigan. You know, Kamala Harris had a private meeting with the Dearborn mayor, been meeting with imams apparently behind the scenes up there in the Muslim American community, and is whispering that she would put a Palestinian immigrant in charge of national security, one who's presently working for the Biden team, and would not be so nice to Israel. In a way to get votes, she's willing to throw Israel and the American hostages held by Hamas under the bus. Michigan has 15 electoral college votes. It is in play. Polling out of Michigan actually shows some favorability for Donald Trump among the working class in Michigan. So she's working very hard to tie up the Muslim community with a bunch of promises that she insists she will keep if she gets in the White House. It's not good if you're worried about the situation in the Middle East that she might actually side with Hamas, but she's trying to lead people to believe that she would. The Republican message on the border and crime in the Middle East and the economy, though, if they can just stay focused on it, it's a great message for the GOP to pursue, because the emotions, the vibes, as the Democrats call it, that's what they're trying to have, is a vibe election. If it's an issues election, the Republicans will win. All right. The phone number here is 877-973-7425. Before we move on, I got to tell you about Vision Computers. In 15 seconds or less, you can get the answer to your problems with your computers, how you do something, where you hit a file, you can't find something. You call Vision Computer at 404-COMPUTE. They can take care of you. For $179 a year per computer, they can be your tech support. Now, listen, for you at home, or if you got a kid in college, you can take advantage of this. If you buy a computer from Vision for yourself or your kid or even your business, the tech support comes with it. But if you're a small business and you need tech support, but you can't find or can't afford the in-house IT guy, for $179 a year, Vision can be that person for you. They have an entire group of experts. Your employees can call them and get the answer to what's ever ailing them with their computer in 15 seconds or less. You do not have to have bought a computer from Vision to get this. Your employees can be productive at their jobs. Vision can be productive at the computers. They do email support, printer support, you name it. Call them at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. Say, Eric sent me. You're going to save even more money. 404-COMPUTE. Yes, they're in Atlanta, Georgia, but it doesn't matter. If you're in Sacramento, California, they can help your business. If you're in Kalispell, Montana, they can help your business. If you're in Hartford, Connecticut, they can help your business. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. They can build you computers. They save you money and get you a better computer. And they can service your computers. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. tell them I sent you.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. If you are buying a building, if you're building a building, if you are in need of an equipment loan, First Liberty might be able to help you. They make their own lending decisions. Reach out to them, firstlibertyga.com. Doesn't matter where your business is in the United States, they can help your business. The Frost family's been doing this since the 90s. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Y'all, I've been wanting to say something about this, and I haven't until I saw it finally. Mark Levin mentioned it on Twitter yesterday, and it kind of became a thing. The Drudge Report, for years and years and years I've gone, and it is like wall-to-wall pro-Democrat in ways. It was never quite as pro-Republican as it now is, just, I think, trying to get a rise out of Donald Trump. I don't know. Now, there, you know, Drudge is a very elusive individual. You can kind of tell that he's got to still be involved because a lot of the other stories there are the same, like the Shroud of Turin and all these other stories that have historically been covered by Drudge. But man, if you want to find out, it's kind of wild. Democrats still think he's some sort of Republican. Republicans are like, no, this guy really hates the GOP these days. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's wild to go to Matt Drudge and it's like wall-to-wall favorable links to the Democrats and stuff you can tell he's like, must know that Donald Trump reads the site and is going out of his way to needle Donald Trump. I find it less and less useful in terms of show prep these days, because it's all just a bunch of like Democrat PR. Frustrating. In fact, so several of the sites that I have used for show prep in the past, aggregators that compile stories from all over the place, they, more and more, I don't know if the Democrats have cracked an algorithm for some of these auto-populated sites or what, but they've just become filled with Democratic blogs and talking points. It's harder and harder to just find. I want actual news. And again, it's you can't go to the Washington Post because they're a Hamas propaganda outlet. Harder and harder to find the actual news. But I'm exhausted covering the campaign. I assume you guys are exhausted by it. At least there are less than 80 days until this thing is over. I have no idea how it's going to go. I've got friends of mine who are 100% certain Trump's going to lose. I got 100 friends who are 100% certain Trump's going to win. I got friends who think it's going to be a tie in the Electoral College. They're the minority, but I don't know. At this point, I just want it over. I'm exhausted by everybody yelling at each other. Do I want my side to win? Yes. Do I really want it to be over? Yes. There's so much other news out there that's getting left by the wayside, including a scandal in Washington where if this particular senator were not a lesbian, it would undoubtedly be a big story, but she's both a Democrat and a lesbian. And so the media, by and large, is ignoring a massive, massive conflict of interest, all to help the Democrats maintain control of the Senate. I will tell you about it when we come back.